Here he is. He needs no introduction. Almost anybody who's a sports fan knows the name. He is the president of the Boris Corporation, and he is Scott Boris. Scott, how are you? Good of you to join us. Thank you very much.
Bob, Elliot, good afternoon, and happy New Year to you both.
Same to you.
You too.
We wanted to talk to you specifically about your fairly recent acquisition, if you will, of Aaron Sanchez, and you will now represent him. I'm curious, Scott, about, I'm sure the scenario of how guys come to be clients of a particular representative are different in almost every case. But would you share how you, was he a guy that you kind of went after? Did Aaron call you? What's the chronology of events that took place?
I think that, we've known about Aaron since he was a sophomore in high school, which was rather easy because he was performing in the high school ranks against, I had sons that played high school baseball, and Aaron was quite a high school standout here in the Los Angeles area. So we knew a lot about Aaron and his abilities ever since he was a young boy. And I think over time, players learn they learn their needs at the major league level. They learn a lot about the industry, both the ability to transcend the business side and really talk about how you optimize a player's performance. And I think a lot of people look at agency from the standpoint of dollars, cents, contracts. And I would estimate that 70% of my time is spent on doing our best to make sure that players' performances are optimized so they can execute contracts and have great careers. And certainly, the players that we have selected at young ages in the draft, we have, now over 30 years of evidence that illustrates that the percentage of success for long-term careers with our clients and our methodologies. We have sport fitness institutes. We have our own training staff. We have our own medical staff. We have psychologists. We have information. You have people as myself that have actually played the game professionally so that you have we only focus completely on baseball 24/7. All of our resources of over 100-man staff go into this calculus of how we create the better player. The contract part, in my mind, is a figment of performance and execution and doing well, and that's really the agenda that we portray. And I think players learn about that as they get into professional baseball. They hear from other players, they talk, and then if you're fortunate, you get a phone call from a player along the way, as Aaron did, and you have the privilege of beginning a relationship with a great young player.
I've spent a fair bit of time with agents, as you can well imagine, over the years, and I know as you start, there is a tremendous amount of recruiting that goes on. I would assume that at this point, Scott, in your career, there's far less of that. Is that accurate?
Yeah, the really, we get, you may get anywhere from 100 phone calls a year from amateur and professional athletes in the minor leagues, and we're very selective. We're not in any means the biggest agency in baseball by volume. Certainly, I think we have the privilege of representing some of the highest talented players in the game, and we're very mindful of that. And we advise players that it's not easy to take on the requirements and mandates, the discipline that certainly all of our information requires, but we certainly have percentage probabilities for players that illustrate that if you follow a course and you stay that disciplined and that directed, that both durability and with your skill set and your focus, that you can become a very highly successful player, something that frankly few in the game that are even in the major leagues, like the average major league career is around 2.6, 2.7 years for a pitcher, and yet for our clients, the average major league career may be as long as 12 years. Mm. So as you go through this, you start to elicit to them what the benefit of information, and this is done in cooperation with the team and their training staffs and our training staffs, and sharing information and the diligence of the latest of technology and application of science and such, so that we can really do a good job of giving the player every bit of information and the monitoring of being there near him and reporting with him and sharing his career as we build up the opportunity for him to be successful.
Deservedly, Aaron Sanchez is very popular among Toronto's fans, Scott. They're very much hopeful he's a Blue Jay for a long time to come. As you are well aware, there's a certain trepidation that comes into a fan base when it's heard that Scott Boras is now representing a player. Do you have a problem with that sort of reputation that comes with you? If the fans hear Scott Boras is representing Aaron Sanchez, now they're worried about his future in their market.
Well, I think the first thing is that we have to look at perception versus reality. And a lot of times in a business, we've done record-setting contracts for a number of players, the first 50 or 100 or 200 or $300 million contracts. All these things flow to uniquely talented players who we've represented, and they are first in the game. However, the majority of our clients, if you can look at Greg Maddux, stayed in Atlanta, and he got the largest contract in the game and stayed in Atlanta. And Bernie Williams got the largest contract in the game and stayed in New York. Or Jason Varitek stayed in Boston. And I can give you numerous, Steven Strasburg just recently stayed in Washington, D.C. I can give you numerous examples of our clients that had a strong history and with a team, and they reached agreement with the club. And in many instances, they probably could have gotten more going elsewhere, but that would be the preference of the player in that situation. So when you're walking through this and going through it, remember that you work for people and it's their decisions. And the fortunate aspect of Toronto and Aaron Sanchez, that he's very young and very talented. And as I've always said about the Blue Jays, we have to really draw back the curtain and find out who the Oz is in Major League Baseball. Who are those powerful people? And the Blue Jays definitely fall into that class. They're one of the top, six or seven franchises in the game. They have success quotient. Few have. They have an ownership structure. They have a 40 million fan base. They have an amazing market. So many attributes about them. Has the means and the methodologies to be highly successful on and off the field.
Scott, you have also, you talked a lot about how you do more than just do contracts. And one of the things that you have done a lot of work on is how teams use their pitchers, how they treat them in terms of preserving their arms longer in the career. In doing your research with Aaron Sanchez, have you seen any issues with the way the Blue Jays have used him?
Well, I think, first of all, our research is a culmination of information that is collected, garnered, and really in a context from the best-known medical experts in the world. So these are not our opinions. These are the best medical evidence available and studies. And our job is to formulate this and share.
Oh, we're losing the cell. Scott, can you still hear us?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Yeah, your cell's breaking up a little bit. Maybe you can finish the thought. Yeah.
Yeah. The aspect of it is we really collect this information, meet with doctors, do a lot of research, and then our job is to share the information with the teams. Mm-hmm. And frankly, it's been received very well by ownership and everyone involved, because I think everyone wants the best available information. And in this case, it's not anything that we have, it's not an opinion that's based upon anything from our offices. It's a collection of medical expert opinion that we've
provided. We put the doctors on the phones with the teams. We have discussions, and we evolve this. And obviously, we have young players. You know, baseball is not perfect. We've had situations where players are in a position where their teams are in the playoffs, highly competitive. They're young pitchers. And, you know, you look at the Mets staff, and they've had Harvey, they've had Syndergaard, they've had DeGrom, they've had Mats, they have all these players that were pushed beyond the normal scale that I think even the teams would normally have liked to have pushed them, but they have the mandate of winning. They have the mandate of the playoffs, and no player does not want to be available for those moments. And so you have to do your best, and you try to create a plan well in advance when you're dealing with playoff teams and things like that. You have to have a plan and a communication level that begins well beyond the season, so that when you set forth situations, you can possibly mitigate the risk and yet achieve the objectives that the player needs to provide for the team and the team wants the player to provide. So a lot of that comes with communication, and certainly the information is helpful. I think it's productive for both sides. And you know, in Aaron's case, we've already had the discussion, you know, with the Blue Jays. It's been a very cooperative effort in everyone's part, and there's been a willingness on everybody's side to get enough information so that the plans that the teams developed include the information that we've been able to garner and the studies we've done with other pitchers and in the past. And so it's really just a lot of sharing of information.
You use the word with Scott Boras. You use the word risk, Scott, and it leads me sort of to my next question. I think most people would assume that there is much greater risk in taking on a pitcher as a client than there is an everyday player. And we don't need to go into the reasons. I think we all kind of understand what those risks are. I wonder if that is something that you evaluate and contemplate as you're putting together your list of clients.
There's no question. Ironically, when you get into players over 6 years service, most of the risk characterization of a pitcher occurs from 0 to 5 years or 4 years. Actually, the amount of disabledless time for players after 5 years of service is something that is quite remarkable, because you would think it would relate more to injuries for pitchers, but actually the equilibrium on that is very well split among the position players and the pitchers, because you have veteran major league players who are playing every day who also suffer injuries due to, you know, just a high level of performance over a long period of years. So one of the things in studying all this is our job is to illustrate how, by creating a foundation of both nutrition and conditioning and performance. I've built 2 sport fitness institutes, one in Florida, one in California, near our offices, where we have the ability and the staff to monitor the players year round, monitor from the beginning of their career through the, all years of their career. And so they have a steady diet of information to look at to say, we think we can avoid these moments, we can avoid these breakdowns, pulled muscles, tendons, ligaments, joints are usually what cause problems, and really create a foundation for you that gives you a durability and a longevity that is way above the norm.
Just to be clear, you are then saying that there is significantly greater risk to the health of a pitcher in year 0 through 5 or 6, and if a pitcher gets to 6, there is less chance of him breaking down, for lack of a better term?
Yeah, most of the injuries that you see with pitchers are frankly, they're going to occur along. This is why the average career of a pitcher is very, very low, because most of them don't get to the 4-year mark.
Interesting,
they have some sort of significant injury during those initial years where they're remember, most pitchers are getting to the major leagues when they are, 24 to 26. And a lot of this has to be that their bodies are not developed You have the young phenom pitcher. Chances are that his mature strength and body flexibility will not occur to the age of 26 or 27. And yet, with pitchers, they have the ability to generate arm strength that allows them to be major league competitive. Hitters, on the other side, unless you're a speed player, most hitters, you have to have the leg strength and the core strength to be a great hitter. And consequently, unless you have that, you know, in few players, that precocious build or leg strength, unless you have that, you don't have the ability to consistently hit in the major leagues, and you don't arrive there until you do. So you can see that position players, unless they really have that strength, or if they're a speed and contact player, they don't really utilize the strength as much they can get. That's what you see shortstops and maybe center fielders get there a little earlier. But you see the third base, first base catching position players. They usually arrive in the major leagues at later ages because they need the strength to provide the offensive force and power for them to be competitive at the major league level.
One last for me. I don't know about Elliot. You have a reputation, and I'm quite certain you are aware of it, of being a tough negotiator. Who's the toughest guy you sat across the table from and tried to cut a contract with? Is there one guy that you went, oh, gosh, he is really good at this?
You know, I don't use the word tough because tough means obstinate to me or uncooperative or whatever. Because I think...
How about talented?
Well, I would say that preparation is very important, or insight. And, you know, when you play the game and you've been brought up by, you know, I had mentors like George Kissel or Kenny Boyer or Hal, you know, these great major leaguers that managed me when I played,
yep,
that you learn so much about the game because they, you know, I went to college 12 years. They don't teach any of this in college. You have to learn it. You have to learn this, and, you know, it's not taught in law school or in the pro environment. So a lot of times in negotiations, particularly with owners and major contracts, you have to bring to the table an understanding of the player, his character, his leadership, because a lot of times the value of a player extends well beyond the value of his individual performance. It's what it's going to allow the objectives of the team and the ownership to achieve. It may allow them the economic objectives of what it'll do for their fan base, their TV ratings, all those things that are unique to statured players. And so when you talk about the most difficult negotiations you will ever have are the ones who are ill-prepared and the ones who are, frankly, inexperienced at the understanding of the game. The people that are most efficient and you hope you're in the room with someone that is really gifted, really talented, really understands the game, because you're more likely to have a successful negotiation and a meeting of the minds to achieve the mutual objectives of both.
Scott, you mentioned that you had some conversations with the Blue Jays about Aaron Sanchez. He's, I think, 4 years away. I think 2020 is when he can
2021.
2021 when he can hit the market. Have you talked to them at all about any kind of long-term extension for him?
Well, I certainly don't discuss players' business public means, but I certainly, you know, we sat down, and, you know, when Aaron came aboard, and we had a long discussion, and believe me, you know, I've known Mark, and we worked with a number of players back when he was with Cleveland, and Ross it's a very valued experience to have a former player who is a general manager to work with, because a lot of the concerns are felt mutually, a lot of the growth that we hope to have. And, you know, I really view these relationships. There are times that we're obviously in a business sense on those few moments you're negotiating a contract where obviously you may have different interests. But other than that, the other 98% of the time, we have a collective goal to get the most optimum out of the player so that, you know, Aaron can have a successful career. He can do well for the Blue Jays, and he can really, really, Aaron Sanchez has the tools to be someone who can be one of the most prominent Blue Jays in history. He has that kind of ability, and we certainly want to do everything we can to build the foundations to allow that to happen. And, And if you have that kind of pitcher on your team, then that puts you in a position, because there's going to be few teams in the AL East that are going to have number one starters of his caliber.
We thank you very much for your time today. We're most appreciative, and we look forward to having an opportunity to chat somewhere down the road. Thank you for this today.
Yeah, Bob, Ellie, it was really a pleasure, and thank you for reaching out to me.
Scott Boras is the president of the Boras Corporation.